RunAsRadio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 94 with guest Ed Wilson. Recorded Monday, January 5th, 2009. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the guys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
You're listening to Run As Radio. I'm your host, Richard Campbell. With me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, Richard. How are you?
I'm well, sir, and all booked into TechEd for 2009. All sessions had to be submitted a while ago, and now they've dragged me into the planning team as well. I think my life is over.
Oh, good for you. And TechEd's earlier this year than it has been in the past.
Yeah, it's up in May now, and it's in Los Angeles, too. I'm happy to be out of Orlando. We've done Orlando for so long.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, Orlando's a great town if you want to go to Disney or some of those other places, but it's really changed over the past 10 or 15 years a lot.
Well, and the convention center there is awesome. It's huge, that's for sure.
But, well, yeah, it's massive.
But I think last year I was in Orlando 6 times. So,
wow.
Sort of over the threshold of tolerance.
I was there twice.
This year, there's only 1 week at TechEd. It's May 11th to 15th in Los Angeles.
Right, another big change.
Yeah, and it's going to be a tight squeeze. I think we're going to be packed to the walls there. Obviously, some huge topics to discuss. I'm really looking forward to going, and we'll be doing. I hope we'll do all our usual things: speaker idle and doing lots of panel discussions. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, for those over in Europe or Middle East, Asia, and Africa. That are going to do those types of conferences. It sounds like Berlin this year, and also in a one-week show.
Right, and TechEd EMEA, yeah, the European shows. Now, finally going to move from Barcelona. Not that I was as tired of Barcelona as I was of Orlando. Funny that, really. Something about Barcelona.
Yeah, but you have to say, if you're going to move it from Barcelona to somewhere else, Berlin is an awfully, awfully interesting and enticing place to put it.
Oh, it's going to be fun, for sure. All right, let's jump right into our show here. We're talking to Ed Wilson. Ed Wilson is one of the Microsoft scripting guys and a well-known scripting expert. He is a Microsoft-certified trainer who's delivered a popular Windows PowerShell workshop to the Microsoft Premier customers worldwide. He's written 8 books, including 5 on Windows scripting, including Windows PowerShell Scripting Guide, the Microsoft Windows PowerShell Step-by-Step, both published by Microsoft Press. He's also contributed to nearly a dozen other books and is currently working on PowerShell Best Practices. Ed holds more than 20 industry certifications, including the Microsoft Certified Systems Engineer, Certified Information Security Professional. Prior to coming to work for Microsoft, he was a senior consultant for a Microsoft Gold Certified partner, where he specialized in Active Directory design and Exchange implementation. In his spare time, he enjoys woodworking, underwater photography, and scuba diving. Welcome, Ed.
Hey, Ed.
Hello, how you doing?
Good to talk to you. I've been following the scripting guys for a long time. I mean, you guys predate PowerShell. It's an old group, the scripting guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they predate just about everything. they first got together back in around, I believe, 1999, in that time frame, 2000.
It was back in the Windows 2000 days, early Windows 2000
actually
days.
Before, because they got together originally to write a book on scripting, which was the scripting Windows 2000 scripting guide, which is an absolute awesome book. My copy is actually signed by a couple of the scripting guys, and it is so thumbed, I still use it, actually.
Wow.
I mean, it's falling apart. I have a rubber band around it to hold it in place.
So you're not necessarily you've obviously written lots of books on scripting, worked on it for a long time, but you're not one of the original scripting guys? Because it's turned over a few times, right?
Turned over, I'm not sure. They've lost people over the years.
Really?
Bob Wells was one of the original scripting guys. And then he left and moved to Atlanta and became a TAM. And actually, I heard recently that he left there. He went to Africa and never came back.
Wow.
Then there was Peter Castani, He was one of the original scripting guys. He left and went to the high performance computing team. Dean Saltis left and went to the WMI group. The last two were Greg and Gene, and they left and I believe to the exchange team. And so now we've got Craig and myself.
Awesome.
And it's just really, really cool. One of the things which was funny is that I've been, of course, a fan of the scripting guys for years and years, and this is like, one of my major career goals. I always wanted to work for Microsoft, and then after I got here, then I was like, wow, you mean I can be a scripting guy? That's like so cool.
What do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be the scripting guy.
I want to be a scripting guy, absolutely.
That's awesome. And if you've never been to the Script Center, Microsoft.com/TetNet/Script Center, that is the central resource for everything scripting related.
And that's been a great resource for quite a bit of time.
Now, I mean, scripting has gone through so many convulsions since 2000. I guess PowerShell is the current dominant force. That is the thing we're all focused on. But, I mean, outside of that, when we talk about scripting, are we just talking about that good old bat file?
No, outside of PowerShell, when people talk about scripting, most of the time they're talking about VBScript.
Right.
I actually seen some statistics a while back, and I still think that the VBScript is like the most popular scripting language known to mankind, far, far, greater adoption, than than JavaScript or Perl or anything else. And so most of the time when people talk about scripting, that's what they think about or talk about is VBScript. Batch files, of course, have been around forever. I mean, that's the way that Fred Flintstone used to automate his server.
Nice.
Yeah.
He'd chisel it out in, concrete, give it to the dinosaur, it'd chomp on it, and those are batch files. And they worked absolutely great. As a matter of fact, we... as far as I know, we retired our last batch file last year at Microsoft and converted it to PowerShell.
Wow.
It was this huge monster thing. I think it was actually originally written by Bill Gates and had been modified over the last 30 years. We just finally converted it to PowerShell, and, it was a whole lot smaller. Of course, we had to do that since Bill retired.
Yeah, there's nobody left to maintain it.
Absolutely.
nobody knows how to support batch files anymore, yeah.
I mean, VBScript has its issues as well, but I'm just stunned at how many things you guys can do with VBScript. This, looking at the, website monitoring with scripting, like, it's just, it goes on and on and on. What's, in your experience, what are people mostly focused on when it comes to scripting?
That's a tough question. I've got a lot of answers. Let me give you the smart aleck one first. I think that people are mostly focused on scripting what's annoying them.
Right.
It's just like, I still write VBScript from time to time. In fact, I wrote one recently, it solved a problem for me. What I've noticed is that when I get emails into the scripter at Microsoft.com address, oops, I shouldn't have given that. I've got like 700 emails in my inbox. What I noticed is that a lot of times people are asking for stuff that is already published.
Right.
So when I'm trying to go through 700 emails, if I can find a script that answers their question, I'll just copy the link to it and say, here you go. I don't get real verbose, not when I've got 700 emails in my inbox. So what I did with IE7, and I'm running the beta of IE8 now, which is awesome. We've got tabs, so I wrote a VBScript, it opens up the home page, the scripting guy archive, the script repository, the Sesame script, like five or six different websites that are going to commonly have the answers that I need to my email.
Right,
and I. This thing's a mission-critical app. I use it every day now.
So it's just a little chunk of VBScript that just opens all that stuff at once, so you don't have
to... Absolutely. I double-click it. I've got the shortcut on my desktop, and boom. It opens all this stuff up. I mean, that has saved me so much time. But you know, what I find people are doing with scripts on a regular basis, they want to stop processes. They want to changing passwords on services is still a big deal.
Right.
You know, people configure these user accounts to run services. You need to change the password on them ever so often, and they do that. Changing the local administrator password is a common question that I get.
Mm-hmm.
One that we don't have a good answer for is setting security permissions. Unfortunately, that thing is still so horribly complicated, and there's not any really good tools yet to do that with. PowerShell, we've got GitAcl and SedAcl, which I had high hopes for and actually solved some issues, but it's certainly that's with PowerShell, but that's not a be-all and end-all.
Right.
Most of the time, I recommend people just automate SubAcl. It's about the best thing that we've got. Oh, in Vista, we have iCackles, which was recently backported to 2003 server R2, I believe, or maybe just 2003 server, period. But other than that, security permissions, scripting is a common question and something that there's a huge opportunity for improvement.
Still a real struggle. And it's just, I think it's because the ACL system is basically sitting on top of NTFS. It's just so old.
It's old and it's complicated and powerful. So whenever you get that three combinations, you have this perfect storm for confusion.
Yeah.
I know myself that having messed around with setting security permissions, all I want these guys to do is read. Okay, fine. So I give them read permission. Now they call up, they can't access anything. Why? Well, they also need like file scan or something.
Yeah, some other permission right. They need.
So.
But even like, just the battle of what is the effective permission set and where did the permissions come from for this user on this file is still a struggle.
That's something that we improved, I think, in 2003. Maybe it was 2000, but that showed the effective permissions tab.
Right.
I was so glad when that came out.
Yeah.
Now,
I can't remember it doesn't actually tell you which permission, like what's the source of the permissions being applied. It just shows you what the net is.
Right. Yeah. It would be nicer if they did show, where, have an extra button, like where's this coming from? Because I need to fix it.
Right.
Yeah. Why is this guy got read permissions to this? Or why does he not have read permission to this? I've given it to him. And yet, it's still not working.
I guess if you were a conspiracy theorist, you would say it's confusing just so we'd have some good questions for the MCSE exams. Can't make it simple.
Yeah, that'd be too right. easy. We'd all be out of a job. should we dig a little into this iCackle thing? I always fascinated when we get into a scenario where something we've done works so well in the new operating system, we actually push it back to the old operating system because people care so much about it.
Might be good to explain, for the people that really aren't familiar with the concept, exactly what it is that you're talking about and how they can leverage it.
Yeah, iCackles is actually a pretty interesting utility. It's something I haven't used it that much, but it has simplified things a lot. SubAcls is actually confusing. As a matter of fact, SubAcls is confusing in and of itself because there's a SubAcl VBS, SubAcl.exe. There's one that's included with the OS. There's one that you have to download that fix problems with the one in the OS.
Just running the right one is a problem.
Yeah, if you can't even figure out the right one, you're behind the power curve already.
Man.
iCackles is cool, because it really does simplify things quite a bit. The syntax is a lot easier to use and all of that. That's why we did backport it to 2003. The thing that SubAcls does, I think, that iCackles doesn't do, and I could be completely wrong on this, I think that SubAcls is the only way to edit registry permissions. And like I said, I could be wrong on that because I'm not. iCackles might edit the registry. I'm just not an expert on iCackles.
Yeah, this is not an easy area, and the tools, I guess part of the challenge here, and you've already alluded to this, is really finding all of the things that we need to know about. Like I said, most script problems have already been solved. You got to find them in the repository, but it starts with knowing the tools that can be invoked from scripting to get these things done.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I'm doing. I started a column a while back, I call it Quick Hits Friday. Actually, Craig came up with the name.
Right.
Originally, I was going to call it Short Answer Friday, because I had these answers like, "Hey, can I script this?" And the answer, no. Next question.
Next.
That's the one thing you never find in a FAQ is what you can't do.
Yeah, that's actually, I'm working on my book on the PowerShell best practices right now, and one of the things in the chapter I'm actually working on right now is one of the things is called avoiding scripting pitfalls.
Right.
And one of the things is talking about, know what to script and know what not to script.
Right.
And I get kind of this idea because I see emails coming into the scripter email alias, and it's just like, they'll have like this 4 or 5 paragraphs of convoluted stuff.
Right.
And at the very bottom, it's like, any help would be appreciated because I don't know anything about scripting. Of course,
right.
By the time I get to that last sentence, I already know they don't know anything about scripting. and it's easy to see where they get this idea because, somebody has this computer. We need to, change the DNS on address on, 15 computers.
Right.
So somebody whips out a little bitty script, boom, runs it on these 15 computers. Wow, that's amazing, There's only like 4 or 5 lines of code. Yeah, oh, that's scripting. Cool. Hey, can I get a script, that'll wake me up at 6:30 in the morning, turn on the hot water for my shower, turn on coffee for me, and get my bagel, into the toaster.
Yeah.
Well, if you could get the APIs, maybe, but since you don't know anything about scripting, why don't you try to see if you can figure out a way to automate, ipconfig/release first.
Right.
Right. Start simple and work your way up.
Start simple and work your way up. Every time I think that, hey, yeah, I'm getting pretty good at scripting and I write like 20 lines of code before I test it, it never works.
Yeah.
So start small, stay small.
A lot of times you can take the little small things that you build and then eventually you can combine them into a larger scripting system that, maybe you deploy across the enterprise. I've seen that done before.
Absolutely.
A lot of things that can even be conditional type stuff, if this is true, then take this action. Otherwise, just skip and do that type of thing. It's pretty amazing what you can do.
Yeah, and one of the changes that I'm making in the way that I've been writing scripts on the Script Center, first I made 2 changes. Number one, most of the new examples are written in PowerShell.
Right.
And that's simply because that after 8 years of writing articles on VBScript, Greg and Dean and Bob and Peter, all of those guys, they wrote just so much stuff. There's very little left that actually needs to be done in VBScript. There's more than like 3,000 scripts on the Script Center in VBScript examples. After 8 years of Hey Scripting Guy articles, there's over 1,000 Hey Scripting Guy articles.
Wow.
And there was nothing up there hardly on PowerShell.
Wow.
So just simply for that fact, I could write for 8 years and just on PowerShell, and we would just be at where we are today with VBScript. And I'm continuing to add some more stuff in VBScript as I see things that come up that need to be there. I'm soliciting some scripts from some of the different product groups to give me some more coverage for IIS and ISA servers and stuff like that
sure.
We don't have. But by and large, the Hey Scripting Guy articles, Monday through Thursday anyway, are all written on PowerShell. But what I was going to say is the second change I've done is I'm kind of changing the way that scripts are written in that I'm encapsulating pieces of information into functions. And so this allows you to start small and stay small. And as you said, it makes it easy to incorporate this function, to just pull this function out and throw it into another script. And
right.
So you wind up with building blocks. And what we're going to see in PowerShell 2.0 is this is going to become even more important because functions then are like first-class citizens in PowerShell. We even have a thing that's called an advanced function, which acts exactly like a commandlet.
Interesting. So, I mean, basically, it sounds like we're getting to a point where we're going to be able to build extensions to PowerShell ourselves.
Absolutely, and by writing functions.
Right.
And so the functions I'm writing today, I'm keeping in mind, you know, that in a short while, PowerShell 2 will be out. You know, and so I'm trying to write with a view towards the future on how I'm writing my code.
I think the big thing with PowerShell is these are the tools that the teams themselves, the product teams themselves, are using to set up their product. Like I look at the Exchange team. PowerShell is just core to everything you do. Or I think IIS is even a better example, where the whole UI is essentially writing PowerShell scripts under the hood.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really cool. And what that does is, and there's two reasons for this. Number one is it's easier for the for the product group teams to do this.
Right.
Number two, for years, there has every product or release has to have some type or some means of management. Okay. You can't have an enterprise product that doesn't have some type of enterprise management built into it,
right,
somehow or another.
Right.
And so WMI, you know, was the tool of choice for a lot of groups.
Yep.
Problem is WMI is complicated.
Hard.
Yeah. And it's hard. And so there was a lot of work that was involved to do that kinds of stuff. Group policy was a tool of choice for a lot of teams. Problem with that is group policy is not available for small and medium-sized companies. A lot of small,
right,
medium-sized companies, they don't use group policy.
Yeah, they're not running in a domain.
Yeah, exactly. If I need to configure IE and I need to use group policy to do that, you know, it just kind of leaves these guys out in the cold. It'd be really nice if we had some scripts and stuff to do that. So with PowerShell as a management platform, people can make management tools, write commandlets, and expose the automation interface all at the same time. You know, so they write one piece of code, and boom, they get three checkboxes on their "Is your product ready to release to the world?" Sheet.
Right.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, it's just, it actually is less code in the end for the product team, and it makes a richer, more reliable environment for us as scripting people to be able to get at the product as a whole.
And there's one other benefit to that, too. And that is, you know, I know PowerShell pretty well. I can manage an Exchange server if I need to.
Right.
I can manage an IIS mm-hmm. server if I need to. I can do a lot of stuff with MOM or SMF. Because I know PowerShell.
Right.
Whereas before, part of the process of learning how to administer Exchange was figure out where in the world in that stupid interface, the
yep.
thing that I need to click on and make the little checky box. I mean, on some of my MCSE exams for Exchange 2000, literally there were questions on, where do you go to click the checky box?
Yep.
Well, and then when you get into the scripting side, nothing more frustrating than finding the place in the UI to configure the thing the way you want to, and then saying, now I need to do that for 1,000 people. How do I automate
right.
that?
Oh, yeah.
And there's some other hidden utility with some crazy command line string that would let you do that, only that one doesn't work quite right because it's not the same as the one from the UI.
Absolutely. And ADSI is the worst in that regard, because in the graphical interface box it might say city, but then the ADSI attribute is L. L, one letter.
Yeah, good luck.
the user, and in the graphical interface it says home page, web page. And in ADSI, it's www homepage or something like that. So it's like, what's the secret word, you know, on that? Well, good thing about that is in Windows 7, we're going to have ADSI commandlets to help simplify the scripting and automation of that. So PowerShell is the future.
Well, and I think this guides us back to this conversation of VBScript versus PowerShell. Is VBScript only relevant so long as we haven't got a PowerShell implementation?
Oh, I don't know. No, I think not. There's two reasons for this. Number one is I used to be a network administrator a long time ago. I did it for 5 years. And when I started as a network administrator, on the little whiteboard in my office, there was three things written down on my to-do list.
Right.
When I left 5 years later, there were five things on that to-do list. So it's like, what have you done for the last 5 years?
I added two things onto the list.
Yeah, and it's worse now. I mean, you know, you come to work, you're busy all day long, you know, and you just don't have a lot of time to play. So if you've got a VBScript that works, use it.
Right.
You don't need to translate that to PowerShell. You know? Even when PowerShell becomes ubiquitous, you know, you don't need to translate that script into PowerShell. You know, because sure. You're going to find new things to write scripts for in PowerShell, stuff that you could only dream about in VBScript, because we have access to the .NET framework.
Yeah.
I've got a script that I use. It's, I wrote all of the scripts for the Vista Resource Kit, both editions, and I also wrote all of the scripts for the Windows 2008 Server Resource Kit. Between those three projects, it was over 450 scripts. So what I did is I had a script that I called Prepare for Release. And what I would do is I would change the date created, the date modified, and the date last access to the timestamp when I submitted the scripts to the editor. And that way, if he emailed me back and said he had a problem with one of the scripts, I could say, well, what's the timestamp on it? You know, he doesn't have to open it. He doesn't have to do anything. Well, this script was written, you know, June, blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, I've got new ones here that I wrote in October. Let me send that to you. Somehow or another, you missed one.
Wow.
And so it became a El Cheapo version control thing.
Right.
You know, and it took me like 5 minutes to write it. And that's something that we could not do. We can't manipulate those attributes in VBScript, at least not easily or in a way that I know of off the top of my head.
And I also find that PowerShell, we get into these great ability to do enumerations of collections that can be pipelined to another set of functions. And you just get to a level of sophistication, I think, that's overwhelming for VBScript.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't like unfair comparisons with VBScript. I mean, I love VBScript.
Sure.
I paid for my BMW. I wrote three books on the subject.
So, I mean, VBScript been very, very good to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, the fact that it was complicated and made people need to buy my books is even better. I'm just joking, of course. But no, I love VBScript. It's just a tribute to the creativity of network administrators that they took this tool that was not designed to do what it was, what we use it for. Yeah. I mean, VBScript initially was to be used on web pages. People still use it on a lot of web pages, you know, but, I mean, it was never had any ideas or thoughts about using it to manage networks, not the way that we use it today.
Take your example of using VBScript to open up Internet Explorer and open up all those different tabs and pages and stuff. Is there some reason that you did that in VBScript as opposed to PowerShell?
Because the question that came into Scripter at Microsoft.com, the guy was wanting to do it in VBScript. I went ahead and I wrote the whole script for that email.
Gotcha.
And sent it to him. Then I also used that email question shows up on Quick Hits Friday.
Right.
And one of the things that I try to do on Quick Hits Friday is to, you know, throw some bones to the people who are still out there that like to use VBScript.
Well, you know, for no other reason, it's working just fine. Like, why would you move away from it?
Absolutely. You know, now the other thing, the other reason that I did it in VBScript is because with VBScript, I have a shortcut on my desktop. I double click that script. And it runs, it executes.
Right.
In PowerShell, if you double-click a PowerShell script, it opens in Notepad.
Right.
Yeah, so you have to open the PowerShell prompt. And in Vista, I can't drag and drop from my desktop to the PowerShell prompt. So then you have to right-click and say copy the path, and then you have to paste the path in, and then execute. Now, I have actually created a script in PowerShell that creates a shortcut to a PowerShell script. And it executes the PowerShell script in PowerShell EXE. So I double-click my shortcut icon, you know, but that requires two scripts. Write the script, and then you write another script that creates the shortcut to the script.
You know? That's funny. So, yeah, there is funny little things still that VBScript just makes more sense for, but I still get the feeling that going forward, anything we're writing new from scratch is going to be tough to justify in VBScript.
That's true. And that's actually my recommendation to people is going forward, write all of your new code in PowerShell. If you've got perfectly good VBScripts, save them and use them.
Right.
Now, I do know some customers. I was teaching a class in Frankfurt, Germany last year. And one of the guys that was in my class, I was talking to him. Of course, in Germany, you know, you don't have to drive a car. And, you know, so we were just taking the U-Bahn back to town.
Right.
And so we was walking from the office back to the U-Bahn, and I was talking to him. And he was saying, my company has told me that we will only support PowerShell. And so I have been tasked with translating all of the VB scripts into PowerShell.
Oh, man.
he estimated it was going to take him about 6 months.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow.
Then I showed him some pretty cool tricks that we can do with WMI. And so I think he was able to revise that estimate down to about 4 months. But still, I mean, that's the only company I know of, you know, that they just make an edict and say, you will do PowerShell. Boom.
I still think they make those edicts not understanding the consequences of it. I mean,
that's true.
Yeah, the cost.
But, you know, I mean, it's also, I mean, yeah, it from an organization standpoint, hey, you know, why maintain two scripting environments? You know, we're only going to do PowerShell. Boom, you know, go. Some companies, and it might not even, if you've got the manpower, if you've got the bandwidth, you know, I'm all for the edict. One of the funniest things that I ever had back when I was in consulting at Microsoft before I became a scripting guy, I got a phone call one day from a technical account manager, and he says, I need to arrange an emergency VB script workshop for my customer. And I said, what? An emergency VB script workshop. What in the world is that? And he said, well, our customer, my customer, they made the scripting expert mad and he left.
Nice.
And they have all of these mission critical VB scripts and nobody to maintain them.
Oh, man.
And I felt like saying, well, you shouldn't have made your scripting guy mad. but then I said, is everything working right now? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, good. You know, then we can schedule it, you know. I mean, I'm booked. And back then, I was booked like 3 months in advance. And when I left this past year, I was booked 6 months in advance.
Wow.
But, I mean, you know, back then, I said, look, you know, I said, you know, I mean, we can schedule it for 3 months from now. You know, if they have any issues between now and then, you know, you can work with them and talk with me and we'll get resources and try to solve their problems, you know. You know, first time in my life I ever heard of an emergency scripting workshop.
Yeah, no kidding. for folks who are just getting started with scripting, can we point them at the O-Matics?
If you're just learning scripting, my recommendation would be to learn PowerShell.
Right.
Just skip VBScript altogether. And I did write the PowerShell script-o-matic. So it does everything that the regular script-o-matic does for PowerShell. Now the one that I would like to write, but dude, I don't have time, and that is the tweak-o-matic. I'd love to write the tweak-o-matic in PowerShell.
Oh, wow. There is a tweak-o-matic now. But it's a scripting.
It's in VBScript.
Right, it's VBScript.
Yeah, the O-Matics that we've got that I've been able to find is we have the Script-O-Matic, the Tweak-O-Matic, you know, the ADSI Script-O-Matic, and the HTA Script-O-Matic.
Right.
Those four are the O-Matics that I've been able to find. And then there's the fifth one, the PowerShell Scriptomatic that I wrote.
And these are all about just creating catalogs of all of the things you can get at via scripting and helping you write those core statements.
Yeah, absolutely. The Scriptomatic is actually a really good tool because you select a WMI class and it writes a WMI script for you.
Right.
And it's reasonably good code, it displays a lot of good information for you. I use it even today as a way to browse WMI. And the reason that I started doing that is because one day I used to pride myself on always writing all of my scripts from scratch. So one day I spent about a half hour writing a WMI script. I ran it, and guess what? That WMI class didn't display any information. So it's like, okay, fine, I'm going to cheat from now on.
Right, yeah.
And so I switched, at that point I started using Scriptomatic to browse first.
And find values.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I did is in all three of the VB script books that I wrote, I used exactly the same variable names that the scripting guys used in the Scriptomatic. It's like, duh, there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
You know, so I can cut and paste, man, and go on. And that's fine. And it's amazing as you look through the internet how many scripts always use object shell, obj shell, ob shell, you know, call items, obj item, and stuff like that that they used in the Scriptomatic, you know.
Well, so many people, they learn from the Scriptomatic. So even if they're hand coding it, they tend to use those same variables. They're familiar to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes it a lot simpler. You know?
Yeah.
When I first started writing code, I don't know, like 30 years ago, I used to spend more time thinking up cool variable names, you know, than I did, you know, actually writing the code.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, that didn't take me long to outgrow that.
You know, it does go by.
One of the other big benefits of PowerShell these days is this huge eruption of just this massive community around PowerShell. There's a lot of good resources out there just in the community in general.
Absolutely. That's because that the Unix community has always been very active in sharing information
right.
with one another. And it's no secret that the people who have adopted PowerShell the quickest, actually there's two communities, the Exchange administrators because they had no choice, and the Unix community because they looked at it and said, dude, this is cool.
Right.
So we have these two traditions, if you will, kind of growing forward. Unix guys look at PowerShell and they get it immediately. And then when they start playing with it, they go, wow, this is awesome. I mean, there's a port of PowerShell now for Linux, by the way. And that's a great compliment.
Definitely.
Exchange guys look at it and they go, this is pretty cool, you know, but they don't have a tendency to do as much with it as the Unix guys have been. So a lot of the stuff that you see out there, you know, on the internet, stuff is being written by these guys, you know, they're just like really addicted to PowerShell, and they just get carried away with it. I think one of the funniest things I've seen is there's a website out there that's called something like Using and Abusing PowerShell, and the guy has written the old Space Invaders program in PowerShell code.
That's awesome.
It's an impressive work of art.
Cool.
You know, and he said, you know, that he just wanted to really play around with using GDI development using PowerShell.
Right.
You know, and it's got music and everything. It's an awesome script. You know, I can't hardly understand everything in it, but I mean, it's an awesome script.
Well, yeah, and we've seen lots of examples like that. The guy who made Asteroids in a DHTML library, like it's crazy. Some of the stuff that's out there.
Yeah.
Ed, we're a little over time, actually. Any final call-outs, things people need to check out getting into scripting?
Well, if you're getting into scripting, the TechNet Script Center, I think, I'm proud to say, is the best resource on the Internet. There's a lot of good stuff out there. There's a lot of good stuff on the Internet, but I think that as far as having a really, really high usability ratio, come check out the Script Center.
You bet.
If you're a PowerShell guy and you haven't been around the Script Center recently, you need to come check it out, because, you know, we're adding PowerShell resources every day.
Ed Wilson, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.